Deuteronomy 1, verse 1, these are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain opposite Suf, which I believe means the Red Sea, between Paran and all those other words. In verse 2, it is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. 11 days, all right? Now let's go clear to verse 8. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. So God promised them that land, but basically he said, hey, this is only 11-day trip, guys. Yeah. All right? Now, let's go to chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2 in verse 1. Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and we skirted Mount Seir for many days. What does that word skirted mean? Circled. We circled Mount Seir for many days, and the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have circled this mountain long enough. Turn northward and command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the territory of your brethren. Now, they were supposed to go through the territory of their brethren, not attack them, and then move on. And then there were other enemies that God told them to attack. Right? Now, notice that, though, turn northward. So, we're going to talk a little bit what we brought about a couple weeks ago. And maybe I can get a show of hands. Who did watch that Sunday morning service? Anybody in here? Okay. All right. Some of y'all did. I'd really encourage you to go back and watch that. It was two Sundays back, not last Sunday, but the Sunday before that. I think you were there, Bonnie and Don, right? Yeah. Don got saved during that service. all right. Anyway, I have the microphone. I'm just saying. Moving right along. Now, I want to give a little bit of synopsis. So we're not going to be able to read all the accounts about the Israelites, but let's give a little synopsis here before we move on. And the root of their circling was fear, complaining, and a focus on obstacles rather than God's power. Instead of recalling the miracles, such as the parting of the Red Sea, manna from heaven, and water from the rock, they questioned God and they blamed Moses. This pattern of doubt and delay kept them from entering the land God promised. It's not a good way to go when you start blaming the pastor, start blaming your spouse, and blaming everybody else for your mistakes, right? Moving right. And maybe they've helped. I don't know. I personally haven't tried to do anything to hurt you. I just want to let you know that. And I'm sure that most of your spouses, their heart is not to hurt. You know, they just want to be a blessing. But at the same time, sometimes we put our foot in our mouth, right? We got to come back and apologize. Well, moving right along, I've already told you my story. So this pattern of doubt and delay kept them from entering the land God had promised. The older generation died in the wilderness because of their unbelief, while the younger generation was called to inherit the promise. Now, why was it that the elders didn't get to go in? Because they didn't learn to change their mentality, and they were responding wrong. So God was going to give the young ones an opportunity and a chance to respond. And that's why we've got to teach and preach these things. Because the younger generation, and we've said it many times. Now, during that service a couple weeks ago, we had the youth and we had the children come up and we laid hands on them. And we had some miraculous things happen. I know after the fact, one of the moms told me that her son had been, 8 or 9 years old, he had been dealing with symptoms, and when I laid hands on him, all the symptoms left. Praise. How many know that a child, you know, that really makes an impression on their life? And now they've taught them how to use their faith, and those kids will go lay hands on other people. So that's a blessing, right? So I believe that had something to do with it. They were actually using their faith as well, because it doesn't say anywhere in the Bible just because they're a child, you know, they don't have to use their faith like adults do. All right? So we need to teach them that. And they will go out and get people saved and lay hands on them. Amen. And then the brother actually said, when she laid hands on my mom, my heart changed. Like, and that just blessed me to no end. I mean, that just almost brings tears to my eyes, because God is blessing the children. And Jesus did that. He blessed the little children. And the anointing came on them and helped. And impartations, he didn't just lay hands on them for no reason. Impartations went into them and they were changed. So praise the Lord. Did you know you can lay hands on your own children? I'm not saying lay hands on them suddenly because they've done something wrong. I'm saying you can lay hands on them. And not that I feel like there shouldn't be discipline, because there should. But moving right along, laying hands on your children, just say, hey, God wants to bless you. And they won't think it's so strange in church. Right? Shouldn't just have to be the pastor to do that. The lesson for today is clear. If you find yourself stuck in a cycle, repeating the same mistakes, facing the same challenges, or dwelling on past failures, God is calling you to stop circling the mountain. He is not asking you to do it alone. We're going to talk about that a little bit, because you have the Spirit of Christ inside of you, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He's inviting you to trust him, obey his specific instructions, and move forward in faith. As one reflection notes, it's time to turn northward and stop walking around in circles. Renew your mind, focus on what God has already done, and step into the path he has prepared. He is faithful, and he will guide you into the fullness of his promises. So this is a good thing. Remember Nehemiah, when they read the law and the people started crying? And he said, rejoice. And go home and make food and make it for your neighbors, and realize that the giving of the law, the hearing of the word, should not bring condemnation or shame on us, because we've all missed it. And if we look at this in the wrong way, we'll feel ashamed. But we don't have to, because the word of God takes shame and throws it out the window. It replaces it. It's called the law of displacement. Amen. Well, moving right along. So it's time to stop going backwards, looking at the pleasures of sin and doing things our own way. It is time to stop looking to the right and to the left and being distracted by the natural deception that pulls us away from living righteously in God's plan. Right? It is time to leave the mentalities behind that have kept us stuck in the muck and the mire, and step up, step out on God's word by saying and doing, and start the momentum that is that as a Christian you were built for. And we talked a little bit about momentum, and let's just review momentum a little bit here. So we need to build momentum. Momentum means velocity, impetus. You may say, what is that? I'm not sure, but it means acceleration, velocity, momentum, speed. Not for the things of our flesh, but in order to fulfill the plan of God. Now, notice they needed to go northward. So there is a spiritual impetus, there is a spiritual velocity, there is a spiritual momentum that goes upward and not downward. And momentum builds. It's like a snowball. And really, momentum is, you could have a rock and then it gains snow on that rock. Momentum is that mass times the speed that goes down the hill. And that gives you the momentum of what that is. Well, I'm not really interested in that figure or not. It is the times, right? Times that, well, some of you engineers in here. Well, moving right along, it goes down the hill, and it's not the easiest thing when you've been living for the flesh. I said that there were mentalities that I had to change. So we need to understand, we need to have some compassion. There are people, and let's say all of us, that have had momentum of downward spiraling of things in our life that has snowballed over the years. And it's until we start using God's word against that. It's until we start using our dominion. It's until we start telling our body, you're going to do what the word of God says.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I'm not going to yield to fear any longer.
Right.
Because if you're waking up wondering, am I going to be able to do God's word today? That's motivated by a spirit of fear talking into your ear. And it's so important that in order to break these cycles in our life and all of us, and how many know that as God has put this message on my heart really several weeks ago, this is a good time of the year, you know, around January 1st, we want to make the changes. But then we get into February and it's like, oh, well, I'm still working on it. And then we get into March. I wanted to stop eating five pieces of pie at dinner.
Look out there now.
Cut it down to three.
Then
January, February, March, and then April, and you're just like, forget it. Let's just eat the whole pie.
Eat the whole pie.
Well, that's not going to, that just builds momentum. How do you stop downward momentum of your flesh and get it to go upward into a spiritual? Now, I understand in the ski language, it's a slope, right? A mountain is a slope. A hill is a slope. And sometimes they call them the bunny hill or the bunny slope. And sometimes we got to take the bunny slope. In other words, don't try to take the whole mountain at one time. Now, even though that trip was going to take them 11 days, God knew that they were not going to be able to take that in 11 days. He knew their mentalities. He knew they'd been back and forth. But he gave them the command, and he gave them the help to follow through with that command. Now, we have the Holy Ghost, then we are empowered to follow through. But it takes time. So let's give each other a break. And rather than trying to change your spouse, let's change ourselves. Children, we're supposed to honor our parents. So rather than trying to change them, even when they do something wrong and they exasperate you, you choose to walk in love. Now that's what we focus on. We're going to be starting a youth group coming up here. And trust me, if you come to us and you start talking about everything your parents are doing wrong, I'm going to direct you back to what the Word says and how you can learn to honor spiritual authority. Because whether you believe it or not, you know, your parents are spiritual authority in your life. And you may not agree with everything they do. And there are going to be times they miss it. And you learn to pray for them. You learn to pray for them. Don't go the other route. Because now, I was quiet. I kind of laid back. But my sister, she rebelled to the anger. And in the natural, I fully understand why she did. But she rebelled, and she went off with the wrong friends, and she moved out, and she moved in with somebody early, and it seemed like, you know, her and my parents were always at odds. But the thing, and then it came to the place that when my father, several years later, passed away, my sister's testimony was, I loved him.
Glory to God.
I know he loved me. He pulled her out of situations. He gave her things. He helped her. He believed in her. She realized she got to give him a chance to grow. Because there are mentalities that come against us. And we you know, we try to change other people. We got to deal with our own stuff. Now, again, in a family unit, you've got to be able to talk to one another. You've got to be able to talk things out. You've got to be able to forgive and forget and move on. I remember there was one situation years after I had already went off to Bible school, and I came back, and something blew up. I'm not sure what it was. And and at that time, I realized that I responded wrong, so I had to apologize to my dad. And the very next day, and he said some hurtful things, but I responded wrong. I responded wrong. I won't tell you what it's about, and it doesn't matter. That's all under the blood. But the next day, we apologized to both one another, and we moved on. See, we were able to move on. All right? And at that point, I wasn't trying to change him. At that point, you know, It's a little different with spouses. They've got to live together and they need to talk things out. And you should be able to ask your spouse, hey, you know, that's hurtful or this or that. But at the same time, you know, children shouldn't try to change their parents. And that wasn't my job, to try to change my parent. When my father passed away, I had a loving relationship. And I cared about him. Did he do everything perfect? No, but neither did I. And I just had to learn, I just had to learn to love. I just, and sometimes long distance, because I didn't want to be around the doubt and unbelief sometimes that when I went home. But parents, do us all a favor. Learn to renew your own mind and learn to make it a blessing process for your children at home and for your spouse at home. Now, you may think, well, why are you saying all this? Well, I've been talking about marriage, and Pastor Jay and I have been talking about marriage for the last several weeks. So if the shoe fits, wear it. I'm not trying to, you may think, well, Pastor, you know about my situation and you're saying this. I'm really not. I'm saying this because we've all been there and we've all done that, and we've got to teach and preach these things. And I will say this, don't give me illustrations and maybe I won't use them, okay? All right. But I'm not going to get up here and say anything to anybody. And Pastor Jay and I are very private. What we help as pastors, people, and we don't talk about that and so on and so forth. So moving right along. It's important that we understand that. I know we're joking about that. Now, I'm going to read something here. We're talking about momentum. And in Divine Healing and Health for Today, and I'm going to go to page 138. And this is a book that I wrote some years ago, Divine Healing and Health for Today. And it's under a subcategory of Faith Ignites and Propels the God Kind of Life. Faith ignites and propels the God kind of life. Well, Pastor, you talked about this a couple Sundays ago. I know. How many of you have ever eaten steak before? I like steak, and I'm going to eat it again. Maybe this afternoon. I don't know. But the thing is, I'm going to eat it again because it's good, and it's good for me. So we just need to keep hearing. We need repetition of the word. And it's the repetition of the word that is going to help us. Amen? Right. So speaking our faith in God's word will ignite a force that creates velocity and propels the God kind of life to any area of need in our lives. Speaking our faith in God's word will ignite a force that creates healing or velocity. And because I was talking about healing, but I took that word out, because just velocity in any area, it creates velocity and propels the God kind of life to any area of need in our bodies. And we talked about a statement that Pastor Jay made, and he had taught about faith's velocity that created the momentum which took the Israelites out of the orbit of circling the desert and propelled them on into the promised land. So it's so important that we change the momentum for the downward spiral that our flesh causes, and we go to an upward momentum that God's word helps us, propels us. Now, with our plane, you need thrust for that plane to go up in the air, right? We're seated together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and we are in Christ, and there's absolutely nothing that we need to do to be in Christ, to be seated in heavenly places. But there are things that we need to do spiritually and use our faith muscles, and it is an upward hike at times. And what we, and if we look at that and we get exasperated, and it's easier for us to just go back to the mentalities of the past and just go keep yielding to the flesh, well, that's going to, the devil's going to wreak havoc in your life. And he's going to steal from you. And he's going to break up families. And all of this, if we don't break the momentum of our past and start going upward with the momentum. And you may have to start with that bunny slope. How do you do that? You get God's word along the line that you need, and you just start, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you start talking that every day, even if you're not doing it. You just start saying, I can do all things. And if you get mad at your spouse, you say, excuse me, I got to go in the other room. And thank you, Lord, I'm a love God. I'm a love person of a love God.
Amen.
I'm a love person of a love God.
Right.
I'm a love person of a love God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Greater is he. I can do this through his strength. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That was all free. But I want you to turn to, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we'll start with verse 13. We don't have to do it alone. Remember? We don't have to do it alone. Romans 8, 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Now, that's talking about opening the door to spiritual death, to work, which leads eventually to natural death, oppression, sickness, and disease, and so on. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, say, if by the Spirit.
If by the Spirit.
So by the Spirit inside, you have the ability to do everything you need to do. It's the Holy Ghost inside of you. Don't allow fear to keep you back.
Amen.
Now, we've had people, and again, we've had people, there was one lady that several years ago came to church, and she was thriving, and she was doing well, but she was having a problem being around other people, and she had a social phobia.
Yeah.
And I'm not making fun of that at all. That's actually a learned thing,
yeah.
And it's a habit-forming thing that will create a downward spiral in your life. And the only thing that can change that is not to go by how you feel, but to go by what the Word of God says. And it says, I am a love child of a love God. And you need to start saying, God loves me. God believes in me. I can go to church and not be intimidated. I can go to school and not be intimidated. Well, this lady, I talked to her and I told her, you are such, and she had so many gifts and what a blessing. And honestly, when she was around people, she was the life of the party. And yet she was dealing with a social phobia. So the things that people deal with, sometimes we don't realize, but these are mentalities, these are habits, these are downward spirals of the flesh, and they are motivated by a spirit of fear. And the only thing that can cut that off, remember it says in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So to crucify means to, excuse the term, castrate. To crucify means to cut it off. How do you do that? I'm glad you asked. We're going to find out today. And this is a little bit different because we're going to talk about how we do that. So let's read that scripture. Let's move on. In verse 13, we've read the first part. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. What do you mean you will live? In other words, that is, there's several words, but it means that power. It means that resurrection life that's working in you. But I want to read some of the definitions of that here. To breathe, be among the living, not lifeless, not dead, to enjoy real life, have true life, worthy of name. Wow, worthy of name. In other words, I believe that's worthy of the name of Jesus. Active, blessed, in the manner of living and acting of morals or character. Living water, having vital power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul. Full of vigor.
Yeah.
Are you full of vigor?
Yeah.
Well, if you're not, you can be. Refreshed, strengthened, efficient. Well, it just goes efficacious. In other words, you are you have the ability to succeed.
Amen.
And we did talk about that that jet in order to be propelled. It's called combustion. And that jet fuel has to mix with oxygen. And when it mixes with the catalyst of oxygen, it will propel and go upward. What is the propellant that you need in order to break the momentum of the downward spiral of that snowball effect and move upward? What's the propellant? What's the catalyst to build the momentum of upward movement in God? By the Holy Ghost inside of you, it would be faith.
Yes.
And faith has to have action.
Yes.
So in January, let's look at having some action in our lives.
Yes.
I mean, we should do this in February, in March, in April, in May, in June, in July. We don't have to wait. Like one of the gals gave her testimony. You remember Jennifer? Rothwell gave her testimony, and she said for 5 years she endeavored to start an online business, and she says in January I'm going to get on top of that. And she got there, she got her stuff out, and then it petered out. Well, I'm going to do it next year. So January came around again. And she had this in her spirit to start this business. I'm not saying everybody ought to go out and start a business. I mean, you better have it in your heart, and you better really know who you are in Christ to do that. But moving right along, she said, and then I start the next year, and then it petered out. And then I start the next year, and it petered out. And I thought, how am I ever going to get this done? But she started saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, even in the midst of what we feel like, even in the midst of what we think, because our mentalities have been based on past spiraling downward, even in the midst of what other people think about us and say about us and do to possibly hurt us or to defame us or whatever, because there's every situation. Even in the midst of that, we can learn to break the momentum. And she started saying who she was in Christ, and it took 5 years, but she said, I got on that, and I went in there, and I spoke the word of God over, you know, greater is he who is in me. I can do this in Christ, not outside of Christ. If you've been listening to Pastor Nancy, let's not do things outside of Christ. Don't try to do it in your own strength, because you're going to peter out. And then she started that online business, and she's actively doing that. She's had some miraculous things happen to her, and she said, you know, it hasn't just blown up yet, but I'm excited. Yes. She's building momentum.
Yes, she is.
And she stopped that downward spiral of, how can I ever do this?
Yes.
How many have had that spiral going? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Moving right along. So, in Romans 8:15 in the Amplified, I love this, for the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father. A holy bliss. How much he loves us. How much he cares about us. If we just had a revelation of he hasn't given us that spirit of fear, but of love, power, love, and of a sound mind. And that sound mind part is just renewing the mind. We understand that. Love is not perfected in fear. It is perfected in faith. We walk in love because the Father of love lives within us. He loves us. He cares about us. His example is what we follow as children. Let his love change your shortcomings. Let the power, that resurrection power within, change you. Well, how do I do that? Well, if you want to restore any arena of your life with God's power, then you're going to have to hear his word along that line, fill your hearts up with that word through meditation, and then you use your voice to speak that word out. And sometimes we belittle that, but it's so important. Thus, the word of his power is coming from your mouth because it is coming from the power source of God within. It is coming from the love of God within. And it means to draw up, pull out, to rise up. It's a restoration. It's a raise to life again. And let's go to Philippians chapter 3, and we shared this. Philippians chapter 3. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Is anybody getting anything out of this?
Yes.
Philippians chapter 3. And it says in verse 10, well, let's back up to verse 9. It's talking about we are found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. So we know the righteousness means it's talking about the Spirit of Christ within that is right. And therefore, we have overcome the wrong things. We can do all things through Christ. Why? Because he's made you right. Yeah, but I did something wrong. That's not who you are. That's just what you did. And in order to change that downward movement of the flesh, you've got to start saying who you are and start acting on who you are every day. And it will start moving you upward. It will start moving you upward. It will start moving you upward when you talk about who you are in Christ, what you can do, and I'm an overcomer. Yeah, but I'm in the midst of this cycle in my life. I know, but start talking about I'm free. Start talking about I'm free from these things. Start talking about I can do all things through Christ. Christ sees me as who I really am, who he made me. Amen. Who he preordained me to be.
Yes.
So, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship, or that means partnership. See, he's a partner with us. This is not something we're doing by ourselves. The fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death.
Yes.
If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And I was listening to Brother Keith Moore. You're familiar with his ministry. Such a blessing. We've known him over the years, and he's made an impact on our lives. And he said, resurrection only comes after death. You see, we want resurrection before the death. We want resurrection to just happen. Now, Jesus' resurrection did happen. And we are in Christ and we are raised together. But if we don't die to ourselves and start speaking that he's given us new life, then we don't allow that faith to propel us. Remember that catalyst? That combustion, we don't allow our faith to propel us. If you're not speaking faith, you don't have a catalyst.
Yeah.
If you're not speaking love, you're not going to walk in love.
Yeah.
Every day, just thanking God, I love them. There are still people today that irritate me. And I don't walk up to them and say, you know, you really irritate me. No, I pray for them. And I try to do things to bless them. And some people leave the church and they say, I don't like you. I say, I'm sorry. I'm a pretty nice person. Ask Brother Don. And it's not always about me. It's really, you know, if somebody leaves the church, I don't take it personal because they're hurting. And many times I've talked to them and I've cried with them in the office and I've talked to them about, we believe in you and we care about you. And they say, we love you, Pastor Deb. We love you, Pastor Jay. But we're going to move over here. Okay. See how that works out for you. Did God lead you here? God's not schizophrenic. He didn't change his mind. All right. If he led you here, the blessing is here. Amen. And I understand going to another church if you're not being taught redemption and who you are in Christ. I mean, there was a point in time I had to make that choice and that decision, right? But once I found that stream or that flow of Kenneth Hagin Ministries, and I joined Rhema Bible Church there because we were going to Bible school, and I met my wonderful husband. I did go back and help my church because that was an honorable thing to do, but they weren't teaching me necessarily how to be healed. But there were other things that they taught me that I was so blessed by. But I couldn't move on completely in the redemptive rights of who I was in Christ if I was going to stay there, so I had to eventually move.
Right,
but it
right.
didn't mean that they didn't put good things in me. And
right.
And to this day, I have a very good relationship with my former pastor.
Absolutely.
And I didn't trade him in for novice either.
Right.
The Lord just dealt with me. If you're going to move on in who you are in Christ, you're going to have to be in that flow.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
And now Pastor Nancy and Dr. Dufresne is that flow.
Yeah, right.
And God has dealt. Now, Kenneth Hagin passed on. He was our spiritual father, right? Now, Pastor Hagin was a blessing to our lives, but he wasn't necessarily our spiritual father. We'd been raised up under Dad Hagin.
Right.
And we loved Pastor Hagin. We loved the church there and all. But when Dad Hagin passed on, it was the same year that he hooked us up. The Lord hooked us up with Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy. Now, Dr. Dufresne has since went to heaven, and he's among that cloud of witnesses that is saying, hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Preach it, Pastor Debbie,
yes.
Go on,
yeah! Yes.
And Pastor Nancy is our spiritual mom. That's why we go to these conferences. That's why we're there. That's why we spend thousands of dollars to take plane flights, and we, you know, fly out and stay up all night and go to meetings and come back and do it all over again. And I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, and that, you know, we rest. Praise the Lord. But that's what we're supposed to do. Resurrection only comes after death. Paul said, I die daily, and is talking about the flesh. We will walk in resurrection life in this life in progressive stages. From faith to faith. Grace to grace. Glory to glory. Amen. Just like Joshua said, meditate in the word. Meditate in it. And do what it says. And it will prosper you. It will break you out and move you to the place. It will help you with that upward thrust of God's anointing that will break you out of the downward spiral of this flesh and the sins of the flesh and the attitudes and the distractions around you. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Now, go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start wrapping up. We're going to commence to start to wrap up. Colossians 3, because I've been saying all this to get to this point. In verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, how many in here are raised with Christ?
Yes.
See, it's what it's saying is, are you really raised with Christ? Do you really believe that you're raised with Christ? Okay. Then seek those things which are above.
Yes. Yeah.
Stop looking downward. Stop looking back at your past. Because what you look at and what you look down at is going to pull you down with it.
Yeah.
It's going to pull you back into what you were in before.
Yeah.
You got to look at His Word. You got to talk about His Word. You got to talk about and get yourself by the nape of the neck. And if you miss it, you just get back up. If you miss it, you get back up. I'm not saying it's going to take you 5 years to walk in love. It shouldn't. Paul actually said, you already know how to walk in love. But we have to remind people, there are patterns that have been set in many of our lives. And it took me a little while to break that stronghold in my own life. So should I not give my brothers and sisters time to change? Well, when we met that person and we wanted to marry them and we just thought they were hot stuff and we thought they were the sweetest person ever, and then sure enough, we woke up the next morning and said, dear God, what did I do? Maybe not. Maybe it didn't take that, you know, but maybe it was 2-3 months. Maybe it was 2-3 years later, and we realized they started putting the toilet paper on underneath rather than over.
Should be over.
Exactly.
That's right. That's right.
I am an over person.
That's right.
Overcomer.
Overcomer.
Yes. Yes.
Not under.
Yes.
Good doctrine.
All right.
Good doctrine.
And I go into a bathroom. This doesn't have anything to do with my message whatsoever. I'm just having fun. But I went into one. We were recently on a trip, and somebody had put changed the toilet paper. It was over, and they put it under.
Oh,
and I'm like, really?
No.
And I took that thing off there, and I put it back.
That's right.
Thank you.
And I thought, this isn't my house. So before I left, I put it under again. In other words, I walk in love, but they come to my house. Guess what? Overcomer.
That's right.
All right.
Good doctor. Good doctor.
Praise the Lord. So we're to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And really, to set your mind, it means to have a mindset.
It's a mindset. Come on.
Yeah, so you got to break the wrong mindsets, and you've got to have the right ones. How do you do that? You get the Word of God, you meditate on the Word of God, you see what it says to do, and you go from there. But we'll find out here in verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Now, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to hide everything else. You are hidden in God from sin and flesh, from following the dictates of your flesh, but you're not to hide anything from mankind because you're hiding sin. You're not hiding sin. You're hiding in Him so that you don't have to sin.
Yeah.
There it is.
Okay?
There it is.
So that's what I'm trying to say. You don't have to hide things.
Yeah. Right.
Come on.
Now, I don't get up and tell everybody everything. I don't tell them, you know, well, I had a wrong thought the other day. It's nobody's business, all right? You're gonna be challenged with things. It's what you do with it, okay? But if there are cycles that start working in your life, you should talk to your pastor about that. If there are things that you can't get past, you should talk. And I shouldn't say that you can't get past, but things that you choose not to get past because you don't want to follow what the Word says, then you should talk to somebody about it. And you should do something about it because we've all been there, done that. And we're going to take you by the, we're not going to take you by the nape of the neck and slap you around. We're going to love you. We're going to give you a hug. We're going to tell you you can do it. We've been there. We've done that. But don't give up. And what do? We dust ourselves off and we get back up. Don't give in. Don't fall for mundane living. You think you're just going to be at an even plane? No, you're going to go down or you're going to go up. Now, in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members, which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked in them when you lived in them. In other words, those were things from your past. And really, those were things from your unregenerate past, before you were in Christ, before you received Christ, and before you were restored to life. And what it's saying there is you should not be yielding things that you used to yield to in your unregenerative life. But what happens, because they are habits and they have grown to be strongholds in our life. Now, when we became a Christian, all the habits didn't break in your life. Why? Because you've got to renew your mind.
Yes.
You became a new creature in Christ, and you have the ability to break those habits, but God gives you an opportunity to make the changes.
Yes.
He gives you a choice to make the changes. All right? In verse 8, but now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man which with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him. Remember, we're made in his image.
Yep.
So we've got to do the things that is like him.
Yes.
right?
Yes.
According to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit that it talks about there in Galatians chapter 6. And very quickly, go to Galatians. We're coming back. Very quickly, Galatians 6. Is anybody here today?
Yes.
And in Galatians, actually 5, sorry, it says in verse 16, Galatians 5, 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And what does that mean? Walk in. In other words, use the Holy Ghost power, resurrection power inside of you. Start saying who you are. That's the number one way to use the word is to start saying it.
Amen.
You may have to repent several times, but keep saying it. And eventually, it's going to take root. And eventually, you're going to have you've got the strength inside of you, but you've got to break those downward spiraling mentalities, right?
Amen.
Right. Start saying it and act on it. If you're saying it, you need to start doing it. Right in the middle of starting to tell somebody you want to spout off, stop, bite your tongue, and say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. And they may say, well, if you love me, then do what I say. What Jesus say? If you love me, then keep my sheep. If you love me, then keep my commandments. Right. But you may have to, many of us have to do that. Time after time and time. I got to stop myself. Sometimes I have to go in the other room. Reel it in. Reel it in. Put that flesh under. Go back. I love you. I love you. All right? We don't have to tell them, I love what you did, but we let them know, I love you, and I'm not going to be controlled by anything. Amen? Now, let's just read that again. Verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called. No, we weren't in verse 13. Where were we?
16.
Yeah, we were 16, but go back to 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Yeah, so we're not consuming one another. Now, understand, it says in verse 19, the works of the flesh are evident. They're evident. We see these things, that they're wrong. And the word will show us that, right? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. Pastor Debbie, stop! It's the word. We're going to move on because we're getting to the good part here. Outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we know that the Israelites weren't able to get past that 11-day journey and go in because of these things.
Yes.
And in verse 22, it says, but.
Thank you.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And then we're going to end by going back to Colossians, because it says we're to put to death, but then it says we're to put on the new man. We're to put on love and mercy. So what do we do? It's that same story that I tell you. As a woman, if I go and I'm shopping, and I buy a new outfit, and I come home and I decide I like that outfit so much, but I like the one I'm wearing too. I just put the outfit on top of the other. Do I do that? No, women don't like layers. All right? We don't like rolls. Extra we don't like extra rolls and bulges and things like that. Some women do, but I don't. All right? No. So what we've got to do is put off the old outfit and put on the new one. Many of us are putting on over the old. And it's never going to work that way. You cannot keep looking back and keep following the mentalities of the past and keep yielding to the outburst of the flesh, the fleshly man, and expect to be able to put on mercy and put on kindness, because you would be doing it in and of yourself. And Christ says, I'm a partner with you. The Holy Ghost empowerment is in you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthened you. Why don't you stand up? And if you will, put off the old. And how do you do that? I'm glad you asked. Father, I've read the word, and it tells me that I don't have to yield to sin. It tells me I don't have to yield to these things. So I lay it down. Now with me, I had to do that. Lord, I lay down this anger. I lay down this irritation. I lay down the mentalities that I grew up with along this line, because in my home, it was like I was in with a bull in a china closet. But I lay it down. And I can do all things through Christ. So now I've laid that down by faith, Father, and I'm not waiting to feel different. I'm not waiting to feel right, because I'm already right. I'm not waiting for it to change. I am putting on the new. I've put off the old. I took it off. Now I got to take. I got to put something on, or I'm going to be naked. All right. Seriously, you got to be clothed. You got to be in your right mind and clothed. Wear some clothes, okay?
Yes, please.
Put something on, but not of the past.
Not of the past.
I'm glad I made some of you laugh. Okay. And we put on mercy.
Yes.
How do we do that?
Yeah.
I love you. You're special to me. And really just beefing that up throughout the day. I love you. And we don't say it expecting everything in return.
Right.
I mean, sometimes I do remind my husband, I like cards for my birthday. I like flowers. I like diamonds. You know, the credit card's good. I like money. You know, I like all these things. But sometimes it's just as simple, I love you. I care about you. And we send each other emojis. You know what that is? The little heart emojis and things like that. And every now and then, he'll forget that emoji. Does that mean, well, bless God, I'm not going to send him one. Now I got to put that old man under. And I just, I love you. I love you. And sometimes I'll put three or four emojis, and he'll send back my heart emoji. So I'm not here to point out somebody else's faults. I'm here to lay down my own faults on the altar, because I've read God's word, and then I put on the new man. In other words, I start saying, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now it takes two. And if you live in a home and somebody is like a bull in a china closet, and you know they're hurting you, there's prerequisites. It takes two. But if we will pray for one another, if we will love one another, if we will take our rightful place and put down the wrong things and take up the right, amen, and not be motivated by fear, but just talk to one another in love, we're going to see changes. We're going to see changes in our own life first. We're going to see changes in our marriage. We're going to see changes in our work environments. And it is different. It is different in the work environment, although sometimes we take advantage of our spouses and our children in ways that we would not do in the work environment. In other words, we forgive in the work environment, then we go home and we can take it out on, you understand? So we all have to look at that. We all have to look at that and just realize, if I will just lay down the ugliness, if I will lay down and put it on the altar, why? Because I need to put on the new, but I had to take that old off. Take those rags off. What did Bartimaeus do? He took off that coat. Amen. And he took a new name. Hello, I'm Bart. Amen. I'm healed Bartimaeus. The son of Timaeus. Well, praise the Lord. Why don't you bow your heads and bow your hearts. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for helping us to see what your word says, and that we have the life of God, resurrection power, living in us, working in us, moving through us, to move any challenge in our life. So we receive help today. Nobody looking in this room right now. Nobody looking, but if you say this message has blessed me, I just ask you to raise your hand. Camera person, everybody, shut your eyes for a minute. And if this message has helped you and you say, I want to put some things down, Pastor Debbie, and I want to take some things up. You know, I'm not even looking. Why? Because I'm allowing you to make that statement to God. He's watching. He sees your heart. Okay. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Help us see your word, Father. Let this year be different in our lives because we purpose to be in your preordained plan and to lay down the selfishness of our flesh and to take up your mercies and your goodness and your sweetness, being sweet in our words, being loving, being kind to those around us that we don't agree with, to friends that aren't always treating us right, or maybe they're not friends, but they're making fun of us at school. And yet we just find good things to do. We don't talk negatively about other people. We learn that the authority figures in our schools and such, they're going to look at us differently. They're going to say, that's a different breed. Things don't get under their skin like other students do. Why? Because we've taught our young people walking in love isn't always agreeing with everybody in authority, but walking in love is doing the right thing yourself. And God, he said, vengeance is mine. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank God for every one of you. You can open your eyes now. We thank God for every one of you. I hope this message has ministered to your life. Now, I would like to just, the children and the youth age, I'd like you to come up here and we're going to minister to you. We're going to lay hands on you. You are the next generation of this church. I said, you are the next generation of this church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And as I lay hands on you, if you have symptoms in your body, just say, Father, I forgive. I mean, if you need to, if you didn't need to forgive, then would you say, I receive by faith in Jesus' name. And just receive impartations for longevity and life. Receive impartations of 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 longevity and life. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Receive impartations of longevity and life. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I want you to say that after me. I can do all things, through Christ who strengthens me. Receive impartations of longevity and life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got somebody there? Hey there, buddy. I'm going to minister to you. Is that okay? Receive impartations of longevity and life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.